Hello, everybody. Another Baseball America Hot Sheet Show. Jeff Ponce, Ian Kundle, and myself, JJ Cooper. And it's all about trade deadline today. We do want to start by noting, check out over baseballamerica.com. We have rolled out top 100 update. MLB draftees are in there. Top 30s updates. All of our top 30 prospects. We have added draftees there as well. We assume everyone in top 10 rounds is going to sign. If someone doesn't, we'll take them out at the signing deadline. But it's a rule that generally has worked out very well for us. I mean, you remove like one or two guys a year, but we're seeing, I think at this point, 12 of the 15 top 15 picks are already signed, but we'll talk about that another day. Today we are here. Trade deadline is right around the corner, 2 weeks away. And what we want to talk about today is kind of the many aspects of this, but we also want to hear from you. So if you have questions about the trade deadline, if you have trade proposals, we will take a look at some of those if you have them and give you our thoughts on whether that makes sense, whether you're crazy. And, we'll try to be nice, but we will lay that out. But we do kind of want to roll in and kind of just talk big picture about the fact that when you look at this trade deadline, we're going to look at it. We obviously focus on the prospects a lot. But I'll kind of throw the question to you two that I kind of laid out yesterday. In studying this, I kind of say over and over, most of these trades, if a team is in it and they don't trade at the deadline, I kind of ask why not? Because the vast, vast majority of these trades, I would say the players who are being sent, the prospects being sent out, don't end up panning out to be a whole lot. This is something pretty rare. So Jeff, like when you look at the trade deadline, what do you think as far as kind of the balance of trading prospects versus holding on to them versus making that move to kind of go for it and try to bulk up your big league club?
Yeah, and I don't think that there's any sort of clear-cut black and white way to sort of approach this. Because I think we've seen trades where maybe we overvalued the prospects and, you know, the big leaguer that came back in return, you know, either help the team clinch a playoff spot, make a playoff run deep, or maybe even, you know, win an actual championship. But I think in the other side is you see some sort of panic moves from sort of these halfway in kind of pretenders that aren't really, you know, at the end of the day, contenders. That make deals that can hurt them in the long run. I think you can look at the Mets with the Javi Baez deal. They set the Cubs up, you know, for, you know, a potential franchise player for a very long time and Pete Crow Armstrong for a rental. So you can also sort of shoot yourself in the foot if you get a little too over the top in terms of deals. I think we've seen less and less of those type of trades at the deadline over the last 2 to 3 seasons. Things have kind of changed a little bit. And maybe course corrected almost a little too much, where outside of Leo DeVries, we haven't seen a ton of huge prospects moved. It will be interesting to see how this deadline shakes out, because as you said, and we'll get into this later in the show, there's just a lot of contenders right now and folks that think they're contenders. So there's a lot of buyers and not a lot of sellers.
Yeah, so we did put together, we have up at baseballamerica.com, we do this every year, kind of our looking at the last deadline prospects who have been traded, kind of our all trade deadline team. And you mentioned, you know, we do have Pete Crow Armstrong, we got James Wood, we got Jordan Alvarez. There are players who have kind of stood out, who've been acquired at the deadline. But I'll also say, like trying to find a catcher, trying to find a first baseman, trying to find, starting pitchers, like that. For every guy who turns out, there are a whole lot who don't. Kind of going back to what Jeff said there, that not a lot of top prospects get traded. The minute you're in the back of the top 100, then your success rate obviously goes down. The minute you're outside of the top 100, success rate goes down a good bit further. But Ian, you're kind of diving into this, kind of looking at this. You've got a piece coming out tomorrow. How much does the American League's uncertainty right now play into kind of what this trade deadline is going to look like?
I think it plays in pretty substantially, because you've got two things at play. You've got number one, there's only really three teams out of it in the American League right now. You obviously have the Angels and you have the Royals, and then you have the Athletics, who coming into the season, there are even expectations with them. But you have every team is more or less still in play for third wild card. But then you have this Red Sox situation where 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, this was a team that looked like a surefire seller. I mean, you looked around and people were talking about Aroldis Chapman, Sonny Gray. They had a lot of really appealing pieces. And now all of a sudden, they've completely flipped the script. Obviously, they're on a 14-game winning streak right now. And they've become one of the biggest buyers potentially in the market, because you look at their pitching, you look at their defense, that's a team that can contend. They just don't have the offense right now. And when you're setting up priorities as other teams, you know, for the deadline coverage, you're going to be focusing on the teams that you are sure are going to be buyers. Red Sox weren't one of those 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so I think what we're seeing right now is you're seeing a lot of teams are having to kind of rearrange coverage, send guys in who might not necessarily have the org in order to get looks at the Red Sox, because they initially just weren't planning on it. You know, they were going to be a seller just like these other teams. They didn't need to cover the Red Sox before the deadline. Now they're having to completely flip that. And I think it's not just them. The Orioles are in the same boat. The Orioles have won 7 games in a row before yesterday. They're now back in the third wild card. There's just a lot of uncertainty, I think, in the American League with who the true buyers and sellers are right now, which is why I wonder if we're going to see it kind of stay pretty level up until closer to the deadline as some of these teams that are on the periphery start to weed themselves out.
The Orioles kind of fit in that as well, don't they? Like, the Orioles look like, I felt like a couple of weeks ago that they may have been a team that was a seller, and now maybe they could end up being a buyer as well. Like, do you feel like that this potentially, like, we're still going to get more clarity over the next 2 weeks, or do you think it's going to be more that we end up with some bidding wars out of this because there's just going to be way too few sellers and way too many buyers that are all kind of fighting over the same few players, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're the sellers, that's what you're hoping for, because the more teams that hang around in it, the more competition there will be for prospects, for return. And you look at the teams that are in contention in the American League for this wild card race right now. As we said, the Red Sox and the Orioles, but you've got the Rangers, you've got the Astros, you've got the Tigers, you've got the Blue Jays, you've got maybe the Twins. There's a lot of appealing things in those systems, and there's those teams, a lot of them, had high expectations coming in the year that they did not think they were going to be in the wild card position. So I think that puts more pressure on them to make a move at the deadline. And that's where the teams like the Angels, the Royals, the Athletics, and then the Rockies and the National League, the Giants, have a chance to, I think, really, you know, maximize their return when you've got this many teams competing for players. And the good thing is a lot of these systems are in the top half of baseball. You know, the Red Sox, the Orioles, the Twins, those are all top half systems in baseball. So if you're one of these selling teams, you have a lot to choose from them. So that's why I think this stretch, these next couple of weeks, are vitally important for kind of sifting through what the standings are going to look like, but also for those selling teams, getting those last look at prospects, you know, making sure you have your pref lists within each organization settled so that you know who to target. Because as JJ said, you know, a lot of the trade deadline returns, they don't turn out maybe like you hope. But if you can get one of those outlier few situations where you get a Pete Crow Armstrong
for a Javier Baez,
or, you know, you go out and get Yordan Alvarez for Josh Fields, if, you know, that's something that can change the trajectory of your organization. And that's why these teams are going to devote so many resources to scouting these systems over the next couple of weeks to ensure that they have every last bit of information on every player that they would be interested in.
So I kind of look at, by the way, we already have a couple of good trade proposals coming in. Appreciate those. We're going to definitely get into those. But Jeff, obviously the name that everyone's going to kind of be waiting to see is whether Tarek Skubal is going to be traded. And I do feel like if the answer on that, to me, there's a lot of these teams who, the way I would describe it is, you're not listening, but you'll take the call, right? You're not looking to move, but Tarek Skubal's the kind of guy that I could very much imagine a team trying to make it worth the Tigers' while to listen. Is he the guy who could kind of basically may lead to us hearing another Leo DeVries type prospect being moved? Or is that, he is still a rental. Is that still asking too much, even for an ace?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's going to be the rare situation that, you know, if he does move, I do think that the return could be fairly sizable. You know, I don't think it's going to rival like the Juan Soto return of, you know, a few years ago for the Nationals. It's not going to be anything along those lines. But, you know, I do think that, you know, potentially multiple top 100 prospects, especially when you're in the seller's market and he's going to be the biggest fish that's available. And, you know, when it is a rental, and I think most teams are going to realize that they're probably not going to have an opportunity to re-sign him, but maybe can get in the running. in terms of he shows up there, they you know, he performs, they win, he likes the coaching staff, he likes the area, whatever it might be, whatever those, and we don't know necessarily what the specific, you know, reasons are going to be for where he signs or what, outside of the guy that's the team that pays him the most money. But I think at the end of the day, he's a big enough fish that it could bring in a pretty sizable return. Now, there are some red flags there in terms of the injury that he already dealt with this year. The type of injury that was is a little bit concerning. And of course, the fact that he is a rental. So maybe that knocks down the price a little bit. But if you have five or six bidders that are in the mix and the Dodgers are one of them, I could see, you know, some decent names potentially moving.
So we're going to analyze our first trade proposal. This is from Matthew Hoffman, who asks, Owen Murphy, John Heel, Alex Lodice for Joe Ryan. Okay, first off, Matthew, I credit you on this from the standpoint that usually when you get trade proposals, I can tell you right away what team you're a fan of. This one's fair enough that I would say that you're a Braves fan, I'm going to guess. But at the same time, I think that's a relatively reasonable parameters. Ian, you've got, I'm sure, some thoughts, and you've kind of done some reporting on previous Joe Ryan discussions in the past too, I think.
Yeah, so obviously last year at the trade deadline, the Joe Ryan was a very popular name in Red Sox circles, and there were a lot of discussions there. And I think, you know, there was the extra year of control, which is a big deal in this situation. He had 2.5 years at last year's deadline, but the names they were talking about was Franklin Arias, you know, one of the pitchers, Peyton Tolley and Connelly Early. So you're looking at two easy top 100 prospects there, and that was something the Twins were not interested in last year. So I think that given it's only a year and a half left on his deal now, you're going to have to lessen the return a tad. But I think, you know, that's a decent starting point. If I'm the Twins, I'm asking probably to flip Alex Lodice into an Eric Hartman, Cam Caminiti type. Like, you're going to have to give up a lot to get Joe Ryan. But I mean, I've definitely seen kind of more favorable or lopsided trade proposals. So I think the Owen Murphy, John Heel part, I think, is a really good start. I think it's just that Lodice piece, if I'm the Twins, I'm not as interested in. I'd want someone a little more highly regarded.
Okay, so you come back with Hartman and Caminiti, and the Braves say no. And then the Twins, I say, okay, what about Tate Sufenstein instead of Lodice? Mm-hmm. I think maybe we're starting to get there. We're going to have more of these. We're going to take your trades. We're going to talk about the National League trade picture right after this break.
What if you can actually have it all? And I'm talking about Mint Mobile taking the premium wireless bouginess, Kratz, but then bringing it to the transparency in pricing and the affordability in pricing.
They're going to lay everything out there with a cheap bill that, you know what, everybody can handle right now.
You can even bring your current phone and your number if you're thinking about it and you're like, I'm worried about that. No worries, they have you covered because they're able to convert people all the time to the Mint Mobile way. Go to mintmobile.com/territory. That's mintmobile.com/territory. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/territory. That's it. There's no catch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, or $180 for 12-month plan required. $15 per month equivalent, taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabytes may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabyte hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com.
We are shifting over, taking a look at the National League when it comes to the trade deadline. And I will say there's a little more clarity here, Jeff. Like, we do feel like that we have some teams here. I think the Rockies, I think they're sellers. I don't think they're buying. I think that the Giants, I think that there's reason to be selling, not buying. There's some other teams out there, but the Mets are probably, as much as I hate to say it, I think Freddy Peralta probably can be available in the right deal. But when you look at the National League, what do you think we should be looking for?
Yeah, I think that there's much more clear sellers on the National League side at this point. We'll see with the Rockies. You know, there are some decent names on that roster that I think, you know, potentially could supplement, you know, some championship contenders. I think Hunter Goodman's obviously the biggest, you know, name there. To me, the Giants and the Mets are probably the most interesting teams across this trade deadline. And I think one of the big reasons for that, guys, is you look at the makeup of those teams. They spent a decent amount of money. There's some big name players on some large contracts. What are they looking to get back in return? And I also think some of the stuff that's going on in terms of like labor negotiations, a potential, you know, impending cap that could be coming to baseball. Are these two teams that are motivated to potentially move some of these big contracts? You know, are there other dynamics at play with the Mets with, you know, two superstars there and having to maybe choose between Soto, who they're not going to trade, and they've pretty much all but said that, have said that on record. Is Lindor a player that's going to be available? I know that he's had some injuries. He's getting a little bit older. It's a big contract, but I still think that's a player that some teams could definitely be in on. It will be interesting to see if some of those big names do get moved and how much of those contracts the Mets or the Giants are willing to pay, if any, or if there's somebody that's willing to take on that money. That could be interesting to see how that all shakes out. And maybe in the end, none of the big names from these two teams move because of, you know, sort of the albatross contracts that might be attached to some of these players. But I think it does add a little bit of intrigue, and especially for two teams that I think, you know, certain fan bases, certain experts, et cetera, had higher expectations for coming into the season. So those two teams in particular, I think, have some players to move. And, you know, the Mets at least have been, you know, pretty vocal about who's available and the fact that there's outside of like three or four players in the roster, pretty much everybody is.
We've got so much more here that we could dive into. I want to talk to Ian at some point about the Dodgers and their logjam, but we've also got so many trade proposals here that I want us to analyze. So, Jeff, I'm going back to you on this one because you do the Cubs for us. So this is a proposal that has the Cubs getting Soriano or Detmers and a reliever for an Owen Ayers. Make sure I get the right Wiggins. We just had Carson drafted, but Jackson Wiggins.
It's Jackson.
Yeah. I get the right Wiggins. So, you know, Carson's a Met. Wiggins' value seems down post-injury, but they just refurbished their system with arms too. Is that a too much, too little, or makes sense?
The one thing that I need to check on here, what is the contract situation with Soriano? How many years of control does he have left?
I'll look that up while you talk about Ayers and Wiggins.
Yeah, because, you know, I do think that has some impact on it. Because if it's a few years, I don't think that that's an unreasonable move. Certainly the Cubs have been hurting for pitching throughout the season. I don't think that's any sort of shocking revelation in terms of, you know, what they've dealt with injuries within that rotation. So they could be aggressive to make that move. It seems like a good fit for the Angels as well in terms of players that they'd be willing to take back that do have some upside. Owen Ayers certainly seems like he's figured something out, and there's two-way potential there in terms of value behind the plate as well. I wonder if it's maybe a little more than we might see for Soriano, but I don't think that it's a bad potential option.
I will interject, Soriano is just at 3-year service time coming into this year. So he's ARB eligible next year and not a free agent until after 28. So I would say with that being the case, this will probably a little light. I would say you probably need to throw in another, I mean,
Kevin Alcantara
and Kepley, Pedro Ramirez, one of those kind of guys.
Get Kevin Alcantara some full-time playing time at the end of the season.
Jonathan Long. Like, hey, let's just give the Angels an entire like new lineup out of this deal, you know, of guys who are kind of blocked, you know. So
I think it's a good fit in terms of the Cubs and the Angels match up pretty well. So there's something there.
Okay, next one up. This is a Logan Webb trade with the Giants. So the proposal is Billy Carlson, Kyle Odese, David Sandlin for Logan Webb. Okay, I will say on this one, I feel pretty confident. White Sox fan, I'm going to say and I say that just because, look, I think that you have the starting point here. I think Logan Webb, you've got to push in the chips to get Logan Webb. Ian, I'll go to you on this one, but I'll say, like, take Kyle Odese, take David Sandlin, and I want to hear, like, to me, like, if I'm the Giants, I'm saying, okay, Billy Carlson could be a piece of this if you're saying Noah Schultz instead of David Sandlin. Kyle O'Dese is being replaced by Caleb Bonimer. And, you know, maybe that's too much, but maybe, but what do you think is kind of the fair parameters of the deal there?
Well, if I'm the Giants, I'm probably asking about Rock, given we know they wanted him. No, I'm just kidding. We know they wanted him in the draft. But no, I think realistically what you said there with Caleb Bonimer, someone like Noah Schultz, like that's the starting point, because Logan Webb has two more years under team control at a very reasonable number. I believe it's $23 million per year. And he's been one of the most durable starters in baseball. You know, this is a guy that, you know, year in and year out is going to give you 175, 180 innings, keep you in games consistently. And it's something that the White Sox really need, because they've been obviously been one of the pleasant surprises in baseball this year. And they have a very, very interesting lineup. You know, we've seen ever since Murakami came back, their lineup has been doing what they were doing early in the season again. The pitching is the question mark. You know, Davis Martin, guys like that have really exceeded expectations. How sustainable is that remains to be seen, especially as these guys, you know, approach new career highs for workload. So someone like Webb would be a great fit. But I think if you're the Giants, you know, this is the guy that's kind of been your franchise for a long time, especially on the pitching side, kind of taking the torch from their previous generation of starters. And in order to move him, you're going to have to get absolutely blown away. And I just don't think that deal reaches that level. I think you have to have at least Caleb Bonimer and probably, as you said, someone like a Noah Schultz or even, you know, Hagen Smith, guys of that tier, in order to consider it.
I would say, okay, so you go back to Nolan Schultz, and then the White Sox say, no, we're not trading Schultz. And I come back and say, okay, well, what about Tanner McDougal? And I think you start getting there. You kind of have that back and forth, and you could get there. We have more of these to come. We're going to hit a lot more of these, but we do need to take one more break. We'll be right back after this.
Todd, Father, are you hitting some games this summer? What's the deal?
Oh, of course, and it's real simple. Scotty Braun, you know how it is. You go to SeatGeek and you can find any deal you want in any section you want. Even if the game sold out, go to SeatGeek and you'll find something that you love, affordable for your family, that you can enjoy anywhere, anytime, at any ballpark and stadium you want. Enjoy it. It's the best opportunity to go see a beautiful game of baseball.
And that's the thing. You can be so last minute. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball. They have you covered for all of your baseball ticket needs the entire summer. They also have over 70,000 events on SeatGeek. That includes concerts, festivals, all kinds of sporting events. So go check it out right now, FT fam. The code is Territory10 for 10% off your next set of MLB tickets at SeatGeek. That's 10% off with promo code Territory10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app, and then the code automatically is added to your account so you can use it later.
We are back, and the trade proposals just keep rolling along. I think this next one is important to talk about from the standpoint of, I do think we talked about the Rockies being sellers, but I do think that they're going to need to be wowed to trade Hunter Goodman. He's one of the few building blocks, cornerstones they have, the all-star catcher, but he also is right-handed power, which I think is in very high demand. So, Jeff, I'm going to come to you first on this one. Hunter Goodman to Boston for Navarez, so they get a catcher back. Anthony Einson, Valera, and Jeanfran Garcia. Not a muff, too much, or what do you think? Right, just right.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at it that Goodman has, you know, is pre-arb, so he's got his three arb years after this, so there is team control. He's, you know, developed into one of the best power hitting, you know, power hitters in the game, frankly. And I think you look at the fact that he can catch, gives him some value there. Adds right-handed power, which has been a huge deficiency for this Red Sox team. And something that, you know, now that they're on this run and back in the mix, I think could be really valuable for them. So, yeah, I think they're going to have to pay through the nose for something like this. It's not an unreasonable offer. It does seem like a lot, but I think you're going to have some of that shock value in order for, you know, Goodman to get moved. It's going to have to be a big deal like this. And the Red Sox certainly kind of have the depth of young starting pitching that they can make a deal like this for a player that they feel will kind of transform that lineup a little bit. And I think Goodman has the potential to do so, especially when I think a lot of people have bemoaned them not adding, you know, Pete Alonso or a right-handed, you know, power bat in free agency this offseason. This gives them the opportunity to do that and still kind of keep, you know, stay within their sort of mind frame of keeping costs down and, you know, controlled to an extent.
Okay, so we're going to try to be really kind of rapid fire on these to get through as many of these as we can. Next one up is another Joe Ryan trade, this one with the Brewers. And it's Joe Ryan for Josh Adamczewski, Marco Dingis, and Bryce McCaughey, I believe it is. Just saw his brother, I believe, pitch at Team USA. Jeff, I think you might have the pronunciation. But
I think it's Message, isn't it?
Message. Okay, Message. Sorry about that. Okay, Ian, what are your thoughts?
Well, the Brewers, this is the kind of thing, if I'm them, I'm looking to do, because they have supreme depth. It's something that JJ mentioned earlier that I'm writing about for tomorrow. But they have a ton of guys that don't really have long-term homes on their current roster. Obviously someone like Jesus Mate and Luis Peña, they're not going to trade those types, most likely. But when you look at who's already on the roster and you add them, that pretty much fills out their infield. The outfield, they've got Jackson Chourio, they've got Luis Lara, they've got, the majority of their outfield is pretty full. So these are the type of names that I think would be available. And I don't think that would be enough to get Ryan. I think you probably need to add, one of the higher guys in the system. But the thing is, the Brewers have positioned themselves where if they wanted to trade a Jet Williams, if they wanted to trade an Alexander Frias, who's a little further away, but is in the top 100, or who was in the top 100, they wanted to trade a Braylon Payne. They have the depth to withstand that. So I think the Brewers, if they wanted to really go for it, they could offer pretty much anything they wanted and still have plenty of depth. That's why they're the top farm system in baseball. So I think this is on the right track, but I think it's a little light on the back end right now.
Okay. Next one up is a Reds Dodgers deal, a trade proposal that the question is Tyler Stevens or Zach Root, or is that too rich? I actually think, okay. Now the question with the Dodgers is obviously this is with Will Smith potentially being out for the rest of the year. I think that trade, I'll take this one. I think that trade could make a whole lot of sense. Zach Root is a fringe of the top 100. He's not a top 100 prospect right now, but he's not that far off of it. That seems like a fair return. We will go on to the next one, which is a Mets question about Freddie Peralta being reunited in Milwaukee. Proposal, Mets doing a trade back to the Brewers, Peralta for Stroud or Williams. So, let's just say, I think we know that the Brewers won that trade. I think we can just lay that out right now. But I actually think that probably doesn't make any sense for the Brewers, to be honest. Ian, any thoughts?
No, I agree with you. I think, with the way Peralta's performing this year and the way their team is constructed, that, I think there's other players that would fit better. If they were able to get him for a little less than that, maybe. But yeah, I think that with the way the Brewers' depth, they could offer, Blake Burke, guys from that tier. And I think that would be a kind of a more fair return than the guys that are closer to big league ready.
Okay. Next one up's another Giants trade. This one's, I will say, kind of creative. Package Webb with Adames to the Braves. Then obviously your Braves are eating salary here. But in doing so, also getting a guy who actually kind of could fit for them in the short to middle term. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think the concept of that trade makes a lot of sense. It's just a matter of the dollars here. And I can't imagine that the Giants would more or less kind of wave the white flag and say that, yeah, we're willing to move this team-friendly, maybe he's more of a number two than an ace, but, the best pitcher that we've had, in quite a long time, and move this guy for maybe an underwhelming prospect return. I think if you do package Webb to take on that money, they're going to have to pay some of it down in order to sort of buy the return back that they want from the Braves. I could see that it could work. It certainly fits the Braves' needs and what that window is. But at the same time, who are the players that are moving from Atlanta, to San Francisco? That I don't know. I mean, I don't think you're moving Eric Hartman or some of these big names we've mentioned already.
Yeah, I think you're saying taking on Adames lowers the value, even as much as Webb has value in this deal, trying to get out from under the contract. Another one that's kind of going back to the Brewers surplus. Ian, I'm going to go back to you for this one, because Michael Wacha from the Royals to the Brewers for Jet Williams. This does seem to be a perfect example of the Brewers. I know they just acquired Jet Williams, but it really is hard to figure out where he's going to play for him, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you look that the positions Jet Williams played last year were primarily shortstop and center field. They obviously have Jackson Chariot in center field. They called up Luis Lara and extended him. He's playing right field now. They have Cooper Pratt, who they also extended shortstop. So Jet Williams has kind of been moved over to third base, where Jesus Mate is lurking behind him. So trading him for someone like a Michael Walker, who just, he feels like he should be on the Brewers also. Like he would be, I feel like down the stretch, that's the kind of guy that they would get the most out of. So yeah, I actually think this is, that might be my favorite one we've seen. I think this is a very fair trade for both sides.
Fair trade for both sides. We ended on a high note there, but we do thank you all for so many good and I would say generally semi-realistic trade proposals. You see a lot of them that aren't that way. So, hey, but no surprise, hot sheet viewers are a cut above the norm. We know that. So we want to thank you for Jeff, for Ian. I'm JJ. Check out all our stuff over at baseballamerica.com and please like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. So not only you can see it, but other people can see it too. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.